So today is Sayadaw Tejaniya with the teachers on May 23rd at the Forest Refuge.
So my discovery, my
Tushila. Jesus, what have you all been discovering?
Sayadaw, in the Abhidhamma they teach that you can only know one thing at a time. Mm. But I think our experience is more like in a movie where it all runs together. Yeah. And especially in this practice, I've been finding it helpful in being with the knowing, especially say in walking, to be aware of many things at once, not any particular object, especially with seeing and the hearing and the temperature. Is this a good way to practice with your technique?
He says what's taught in the Abhidhamma is what was seen by the Buddha in detail, but he says nobody else can see that in detail.
It's great.
So what the Buddha explained is what he explained. He says you can't practice the theory. He says there are so many minds happening in one second. Mm-hmm. He says, how can we possibly know it one by one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
depending on the strength of the we see a lot of minds as a little bit of mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So our responsibility is only to know what we know. And then he says, in that, we just try to bring wisdom to bear to the awareness of the moment, mm-hmm. and then hope, and then maybe more wisdom arises mm-hmm. from that. What we can do is, he says, strengthen the awareness, like make the awareness sharp. Mm-hmm. So that's what we can work
on.
He says the awareness sees as much as it is able to. And he says what awareness knows and what wisdom understands are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Although we use the word see, we say, oh, I saw this or that. Sometimes it's understanding and not like seeing as in what awareness
sees.
He says, like in the Dhamma discussion yesterday, people were talking about somebody was saying something, or he was checking is there any defilement. And he said he was thinking about that, and how he understands it is at that gross level, maybe no defilements, but at subtle levels, there might be more subtle defilements. When the mind becomes able to see, he says that the stronger the mind, the more subtle it can see the defilements that are still existing. As strong as the awareness of the wisdom gets, he says that's how much the
defilement machine.
He says, if we ever say
that there are no defilements. He says we're just like being easy about it.
တကယ်လားစိတ်ကလေတကယ်ကြည့်လာလုံးဝရှင်းတဲ့အခြေအနေမျိုးတစ်ခဏလေးဖြစ်ကြည
့် He says if we ever had even a second of really knowing how in the mind he said oh
အဲ့ချိန်မှာတကယ်ညာအရာအပြည့်တဲ့ချိန်မှာဒီတကယ် defilement လုံးဝကင်းနေချင်းအဲ့ခဏကလို့ပေါ့
Yeah he says
ခဏကလုံးမြောက
် The wisdom is very very strong very strong and there is in thatmoment that the wisdom is that strong there's a true moment of non like no defilement in the mind he says that's what they call
kanika vimuti
momentary
freedom or momentary liberation
kanika
aya mla ba ne ho aji la ma mho
without that he says the big ones don't come did he say kanika nimana
vimuti vimuti ไอ้อายุมันไม่รู้สิทธิ์ปัดมา
He says but that's not in the object he said it's in the mind
ดีดีสิทธิ์เฉยเนี่ยตู้เนี่ยตันเนี่ยอายุดูอยู
่ He says the mind and its state that like the state of mind the mind carries he says makes the mind see the object that it deserves that it's matched
match ตู้เนี่ยใกล้ได้อายุดูอยู่สิทธิ
์ So the mind only sees the object that it is matched with like much wisdom and that much understanding.
အဲ့တော့ဘုရားနိဗ္ဗာန်ဘာနဲ့တိုက်နေဆိုတော့ကိလေသာမရှိနိဗ္ဗာန်လို့ဆို
So that's why the Buddha's like ruler for Nirvana was when there's no defilement.
ယာကေကျော်နိဗ္ဗာန်နဲ့ဒေါသကျော်နိဗ္ဗာန်နဲ့ယာကေကျော်နိဗ္ဗာန်နဲ့ဒေါသကျော်နိဗ္ဗာန်နဲ့မောဟကျော်နိဗ္ဗာန်နဲ့
Nirvana that is free of raga, free of dosa, free of moha.
အဲ့တော့အာယုံကြည့်ဖို့ကြိုးစားမှာမဟုတ်စိတ်ကို purify ဖြစ်အောင်ကြိုးစား
So he said we shouldn't be trying to see the object we should be trying to purify the mind.
လူတွေလိုက်တာအာယုံတော့လိုက်နေတာ
This is people are just going after the objects all the time.
အာနိဗ္ဗာန်ဘာနဲ့တူလဲ
They want to know what Nirvana looks like.
Object ဘာနဲ့တူလဲ
But the object like
ဘယ်တော့မရ
He said never get
it. And you were saying like people are thinking Nirvana is the object not
ဟော Nirvana is object.
Nirvana is an object. Okay.But it only comes to the deserving mind.
He says, if there's
mind, there's object. Every mind has its object.
Uh-huh. Three minds, three objects. Three
kinds of minds, three kinds of objects.
Give me that say.
Defilement mind observes concepts.
Mm-hmm. Every defilement, no?
Every defilement observes
not every mind
concept, but not every mind yeah
every defilement observes the concept no?
Mm-hmm.
Now vipassana sega
vipassana mind observes reality
message po sega nibbana ayam du
mega palanyana observes nibbana
mm-hmm. yeah. yeah
so where's the cessation is it Because he has cessation too and the butcher
Yeah.
Right.
Say she the ayo she the.
This mind is object.
I mean, pinya ayo pyu dai no kirita ma phit bu no. Kirita sait ma na me pinya ayo pyu.
He says, but you know, it's like every defilement mind observes a concept, but it doesn't mean that every time a concept is observed that it is a defiled mind.
Right.
Uh-huh. But if it's a defilement mind, it is definitely because it's paying attention.
And so if the mind has nirvana as its object, there's awareness, consciousness.
And they are more thin air, I'm a
thin air. Not learning.
Understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Is he saying not consciousness?
Yeah, I don't
know. He says if there's wisdom, when there's wisdom, he says the Noble Eightfold Path is all present.
ဘုရားဟောတာရှိတယ် Noble Eightfold Path မရှိတဲ့နေရာမှာနိဗ္ဗာန်မရှိဘူ
း The Buddha has said where the Noble Eightfold Path is not present there is no Nirvana.
That answers
the question. အဲ့တော့ဥသိဉ္ဇာကြောင့်အာယုံအဓိကမထားစိတ်ဖက်ကိုအဓိကထားစိတ်ကသူ့နဲ့တန်တဲ့အာယုံတော့တူတယ်
That's why he's not very concerned with the object. He's more concerned with the mind, because when the mind is purified or whatever, the mind will take the will see or understand the object that it deserves to understand. If the mind has the right attitude, it takes the right object.
ကိလေသာစိတ်မှန်မှန်ပညာအာရုံပြုတဲ့အတွက်ကိလေသာစိတ်ရှိနေနိပရမတ်ကိုဘယ်လိုမှအာရုံပြုလို့မရ
This is because every defiled mind's object is panyati is a concept he says that's why with defilement in the mind there can be no understanding of ultimate reality
အဲ့တော့ဦးတင်ကယောဂီတွေဘာပြောဒီ watching mind မှာဒီကိလေသာရှိလားမရှိဘူးဒီကောင်အရင်ပုံကြည့်ဆိုင်တာ
That's why he tells yogis to watch to check the watching mind to see if there is any defilement in the watching mind or not like that's first priority
နောက်ပိုင်းကျရင်တတိတော်မဟုတ်လို့တတိရှိတော့ဘာသဘောပေါက်နေလဲထထမေးတာ
He says and later on it's not just is there awareness and how is the awareness it's what understanding is there
ကိုသဘောပေါက်တယ်ကိုသိရမှာလေ
So we have to understand, we have to recognize our own wisdom too.
And is the understanding, he talks about classically like the three characteristics.
Who's in pure, the bo pao de nyanga, mo anisa dukkha anatta pe la re.
Amyari.
No, more
than that. But my first level, what do you mean?
He says just first level, he'll tell you the first level.
First level, so I will 16 nyana, but my chat, what do you mean?
Yeah.
นั่นสิ่งนี้ยุบไปไม่ชัดๆတကယ်တိပ
ြ He says just the first level of insight of the 16 stages He says how many of us really know like how many of us really own the knowledge of the fact that that everything is just mind and matter
นามรูปปริสิทธิ์เนี่ย first level တကယ်တိပြ
Do we really know that do we really know
စိတ်တော့ကောင်းမသိသေးဘူးစိတ်ဘယ်လိုရှိမှမလို့မသိသေးဘူ
း We don't even know the mind very well or how to watch the mind and all that
Oh
He says oh Good translation I
thought I didn't get across what I thought Okay ဟိုကငင်းတဲ့အဲမှာဘယ်လောက်ရုပ်နံဘယ်လောက်တွေ့ပြီအစင်းရုပ်တည်တာလားမျက်စိရုပ်တည်တာလားတည်တဲ့စိတ်ကိုနံတည်တာလား
He says, even like talking about rupa, maybe not now, but he says, how much do we understand? Say, in seeing, do we understand the rupa and the object, or rupa and the eye, or rupa and the seeing? Like, what do we understand? Yeah.
Now, you know, let me tell you. I'll tell you, let me tell you.ဒုတိယစကံအကြောင်းကျိုးယုတ်နိုင်အကြောင်းကျိုးပိုင်းပိုင်းနိုင်နေသိရမှာ
And then he says we not only have to understand nama rupa he says that we have to understand cause and effect right that's the second level
ယုတ်နိုင်အကြောင်းကျိုးတော့ကောင်းကောင်းမသိလို့လူတွေခက်နေတာဒီမှာ
အားထုတ် People are having difficulty with practice because they don't know the interaction between or don't understand the cause and effect relationship between
မတိတာမဟုတ်နင်တိတယ်နင်းနေတိတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့မလောက်ဘူ
း He says not that we don't know completely but we know a little bit but it's not enough
အဲ့ဟိုကတိပြီဆိုလှုပ်လှုပ်ပြီးတော့ရှေ့ဆက်တက်လို့မှာပင်ကတက်ပရတက
် He says but we what happens with the yogis they don't completely understand it he says and they, but they want to get ahead so they reach for pangajana or bhyana or
pinga bhaya adi vana
greedy mind
yes yeah within the bubble la ma lo chin ko ti de
ko the bubble he said how he sees it is when we don't want he says more understanding comes
lo lo sia sia lo lan ni lo sia sia li la sia sia a mien na lo nin tu a lo to tat ni
he says if we just do what needs to be done and we're always doing it then improvement is always happening it's always growing
yogi ma udin ko sin ya le so po raw ye chi ti de nyin ne yin ni ni ya ma
he says for the yogis that's one thing but for the teachers it's more important because they need to be in touch with this subject all the time teacher.
He's a teacher. He's a teacher. He's a teacher. He's a teacher. He's a
teacher.
So, any
just, this is not a question, just a comment. I'm just appreciating, again, in the way you're speaking about the, you know, the 16 stages. It's not so much just some meditation insight you have and then, you know, you move through, but you're speaking about each stage as deep wisdom that, you know, the kind of wisdom that's liberating, that you see it once and then forget it. You know, it's a whole different way of relating to them.
It's just like for people, he says very basic things like understanding.
Kamatakata samadhi.
Do you know this jnana? I don't know. It's called kamatakata samadhi jnana. It's the true understanding of the cause effect relationship of everything.
Yeah.
And
it's just the second one.
It's on the right view. So the right view that a good action has a good result, a bad action has a bad result, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He says if people really understood this kind of thing, then you know they wouldn't have so many reactions. He says now people seem to know because they've heard of it or something, but they can't sort of stop themselves. Or he says because they don't really know. He says when he used to practice meditation when he was young, he would read this and that book and find out things. He said, but he'd go home and he would do whatever he wanted to still get up to it. That made him really think, you know, about whether he knew or not. He realized, well, it's just not enough. There's not real understanding.
So, Sai, did you find your students go through something like the 16 step, the progressive insight, or is that map not even relevant to the way people practice with you?
Oh, usin yogi ya. Oh, nyan din sa chao pa lo myo ha o phyatan
na twi la mho yin. Usin tin na
he says it's not that it's not relevant or it's not seen, and he might see it in some of the yogis, but he doesn't mention the insights to them. Because if he mentions anything, they will think it belongs to them now.
Yogi diao tui wu lu, tu a osei ya yogi. Tu a chami siya ro osei yao diao diao, tu a atho. Atho to tu a chini experience the kuya lai de, di mao tu a banyan le to sa pai ne to a tui yu lai. Tui yu lai to tu a ngan dinyan ya lu tui yu lai. Pito tu a nao kapa ma bi toa yu blu lu lai. Ideas.
There was a yogi he met once who had met a sadhu in Australia, and he had been very enthusiastic about the practice and he had a very strong experience, but he didn't understand the experience.
And the student met the sadhu.
Another
sadhu.
And he had a very strong experience and he didn't know what it was. But he kept meditating even when the Saido left Australia. And one day in reading, he saw some similar experience described somewhere. And he thought, oh, right, so I've got that jnana. Mm-hmm. I've got that stage of insight. And he continued to practice. But then an opportunity came for him to go back to Burma. And then he thought, oh, great, you know, I'm going to go to Burma now. and you know move from that stage of insight, and I'm going to you know get ahead from there. But what happened was that there was just too much driving, and his meditation got so bad. All he would do when he sat was shake. And he would sit, and the whole body would shake. He got so depressed after 2.5 months of practicing that he thought he would never be able to meditate anymore for the rest of his life.
And
he was sure he was never going to see the Dharma. And then he went to see Sri Ubin Sayadaw. Somebody has waited him to see Sri Ubin Sayadaw.
อุเซนดูเนี่ยตุ๋ยตุ๋ยတော့อุเซนตุ๋ยပြီးတော့လက်မှတ်နောက်ရှိလိုက်တစ်ပတ်နောက်ရှိလိုက်အဲသူ့တွေ့ခေါ်ပြီးတော့သူ့အဲ့ဆပ်ပြောတော့ဗောမိဒီအချိန်မှာဟိုအဲ့လိုမျက်စိပိတ်ပြီးတော့ရဲ့အဲ့လိုဖြစ်တဲ့အချိန်မှာသူကညံလို့ယူတာဟုတ်ဒီအတွေ့အကြုံသူကညံလို့ယူတာဥเซนပြောတယ်ညံလို့ဖွက်တဲ့အချိန်မှာဒီညံရှိလို့လားအဲ့ညံဆုတ်လို့မရဘူးညံ
And so you know Sayadaw told the man that if he wanted you know some help he would have to go back a little later and come and stay for a while, and then he sent him to see the teacher. And so the teacher asked him, he said, if you thought that was an insight that you had, you know, when you had that strong experience, he says, you had it with your eyes closed, he says, and when you opened your eyes, did you still know that thing? He says, how can you think that you have got the insight? You can't hold on.
I mean, people do a Twitter, yeah, we know you have.
That's what people do, is that they think they've got.
Many people, 11th stage, man, yeah.
And many people he knows are stuck in the 11th stage of insight. That's what some people say.
I stuck in the 11th stage.
He says, for the person who's saying it, he said, in the moment that they're talking, they don't even have the first stage of insight. He says, if we don't have awareness all the time, how can we have wisdom all the time? Or insights all the time? He says, if the awareness is not even automatic yet, it's still the kind of awareness that we have to be trying to apply and practice. He says, how can the wisdom be automatic?
He
says, if the awareness is not strong, how can the wisdom be that strong?
Okay.
So I have a very simple practice question. Just as an example of working with the defilements, looking at the mind. The other day I was walking in the rain with my umbrella, and I noticed a little strap from the umbrella hanging down in front of my face. I don't like that. So I noticed aversion.
Yes.
I noticed greed. I want to move it. So I move it. Is that...
Okay.
The detail me there. Down kilo, which I
say... Julie.
And in old...
ที่อุปัตติโจลีเลยที่ไก่ท้ายตะคันนี้ดิโลเลยซวยจ่าเลยจ่าเลยอ่าๆไม่ใช่มาก็ไม่จ่ายเลยตะเมียนน่ะใช่มายောက်นี่กูไม่จ่ายแล้วไม่จ่ายมันตีไล่แต่แล้วพอแห่จินน่ะอะไรล้อบ่เนาะแห่จินน่ะตีแล้วแล้วแห่ไล่แต่ดิโลตริฐานไม่ได้ยัดล่ะเลยยัดก็ยัดเลยだแม้โหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโหโ
I mean,
Dona Tio Meali, Dora, Dora, Chichi Lemley.
He says, if you recognize in already the aversion, he says, then don't just stay at recognition. He says, then look a bit further. Like, why does the mind have aversion to this?
I knew why.
What?
It's in the way.
Every
when
time you look. He says, you can move the umbrella. He says, when there's no more aversion.
He
says, because it's the moving the umbrella is not the important thing. He says, the important thing is not to have aversion in the mind. Then you can still do the wise thing. He says, you see, this is the pattern response of people. They always try to remove the object and not to remove
right.
it, to work with off the defilement.
But even because I notice, you know,
remove the lot of do design pet out ma mo no do na le ang chosa pi do paw lu do piao do ai ya lu jin na.
And how we work off the defilement, he says, we can't sort of get rid of it. We can't say, oh, defilement not be here. But, you know, it's like, he says, you have to watch the defilement, uh-huh. understand it, see uh-huh. how it works. When there's understanding, the understanding will make the defilement not possible to be
yogi, there. Yogi, yogi, that's what you think about, you know, that means that you can't process it, you can't process it, you can't process it. So, now, I think that you can't process it, you can't process it, you can't
process it. He says, when a yogi tells him, you know, that they've noticed a whole process like this, he says, yes, that's good. That's good awareness. He says, but now there's good awareness, they have to go a step further mm-hmm. and start investigating.
Now, look, investigate, look.
What should they do next time?
Mm-hmm.
It's not to get rid of the object. It's to work with the
defilement. Mm-hmm.
Now people just like try to get rid of the object. He says, just because the object is not there, and because of the absence of that object, there's no defilement in the mind, he says, that doesn't require any wisdom. He says, learning how not to have defilements in the mind despite the presence of the object
mm-hmm.
is vipassana
jnana. Defilement mm-hmm.
Yes, it's because of the presence of some wisdom, whatever it might be, that defilements don't arise.
Defilement will blow pay less, so people may be talking to you.
So getting rid of defilements happens only in a, I don't know how you say this in English, not an active way, but like a replacement.
Way,
no, it's like because something else is sitting in that chair,
yes.
Defilements not, because of the presence of wisdom, and therefore defilements are not allowed to be there, which is like
mm-hmm.
having got rid of
them. Don't let them chance.
Don't give them a chance.
But even in this example, say, as I said, I noticed the aversion, I noticed the greed, mind was quite quiet, and as you say, defilements are always there. I mean, at one level, yes, there wasn't strong read, strong of it. It's only a little thing.
Mm.
And, you know, mindfulness is there. If I have to wait until no defilements at all,
I don't wait, yeah.
Yeah? Look, all right. Dua, di ti ha li tui re, du shui jin na tui re, da me, ho, sikara nye ni re, ho, chi chi ma ma roki li ta ma shi u, ho, uzen pyo de lo ve, da miyo a pi le, ကိလေသာအမြဲရှိတယ်လို့ပြောလို့ရတယ
်။
ဟုတ
် Yes
ဒီကိလေသာတစ်ခုရှိတဲ့အတွက်သူကကြီးကြီးမားမားဒုက္ခရောက်နေတာလည်းမဟုတ်ဘူး။ဟိုစိတ်ကကိလေသာမရှိဘူးစောင့်နေမှာဆိုရင်လည်းဘာမှမလုပ်ဖြစ်ဘူးပေါ့ရယ်။ဘာလို့ကိလေသာအမြဲရှိ
တယ်။ Yes ရှိနေရှိလေလာမှာကိလေသာပေါ့။ကိုကဘယ်လိုမြင်လဲ
။ဒီ
ဘ
ာ
လ
ို့
ဘယ်လိုသဘောပေါက်လ
ဲ။ But if the defilement is there, he says then we're supposed to like we can look at it. Like
mm-hmm.
how does it work? What does
learn,
it do?
Learn from this experience.
Mm-hmm.
For a while.
Yeah.
Right. He says, right, you can work with it for a while, and then if it irritates you too much, you can
go to the other side.
He says, you could go walking down that path. He says, so interesting. He says, this thing is irritating. You get to look at the mind. The thing is still there. You look at the mind. You could go the whole walk looking at it. Why does the mind have irritation towards this little thing? Because it doesn't need to be there.
Did he tell you about
the questions he had about sound when he was meditating?
I heard one story about sound. The Saibo was speaking, it was very pleasant.
No.
Yeah, pleasant.
A loud noise came.
It was Seattle.
New story. Music la. Uzi a tan nepa den lo yogi to do mya reaction la ma chai ta mya.
Yeah.
No?
He was there was some music playing in the village and you know, he was enjoying
the knowing was pleasant.
Yeah, the knowing was pleasant and the tea there.
Hmm.
But you know, he knew that yogis get very annoyed by all this sound.
အဲ့ဒီမှာဥညာစိတ်ကဘာကြည့်ဘာလို့သဘောကျအမှန်တော့ပီတိဖြစ်လာပီတိဖြစ်တယ်သဘောကျပီတိဘာလို့ပီတိဖြစ်တယ်ဆိုတော့အတန်ဟိုလက်ခံတယ်လို့ဘာကြောင့်လဲနားလည်တယ်လို့
Yeah but he was looking checking why the mind was feeling good and there was piti because you know there was an understanding that this is just sound yeah this is just nature
အဲ့ဥညာထပ်မေးတယ်အဲ့တော့အခြေအခြေနေကောင်းနေပြီနော်အဲ့ဒါကိုထပ်မေးတယ
် So this was a good situation but he asked himself the next question
ဒီအတန်ပေါ်မှာမှ reaction မရှိတာလားအတန်တိုင်းမှာရီအက်ရှင်မရှိတာ
Is it only towards this sound that he has no reaction or is he generally non-reactive to all sounds?
နောက်ထပ်မေးတယ်အာယုန်တိုင်းမှာရီအက်ရှင်မရှိ
And then he asked himself or is he non-reactive then generally to all objects?
အဲမေးဖို့ထပ်လာတော့အားထုတ်အောင်အများကြီးပဲဒါလုံးလေးနဲ့ချိန်နဲ့လို့မရဘူး
So if he asks the question he says then he can't be satisfied with this moment he says he understands that this my practice is not enough.
ก็ฉี่นี่ได้มายูยูซิมเปิ้ลเอ็กซ์พีเรียนตะคู่มาตะบอปอกล่ะอายแน่นหน่อยเนาะ
วิปัสสนา In every situation it could be the simplest thing and he says the understanding can be very very can go deeper and deeper into the
ดาลิล่อยแลลูกบ่ามาบ่คือดาแม้น้าแลไหนเนี่ยอายขึ้นไหน
He says turning that umbrella takes no effort at all he said but from that experience some very deep understanding could arise you never know
စိတ်ပဲမှာတတိယနဲ့အာကြီးနေလေဒီ simple experience တကယ်တဘောပေါက်နေ
If only in the mind awareness and wisdom were very, remained always very strong he said the simplest thing could spark on a very deep insight
ခွင့်ရမလို့ခွင့်ရအများနဲ့ရှိတယ
် No he says you didn't miss any opportunity opportunity is there all the time
ဥမာဦးနေအနတ်နဲ့ပတ်သက်တဘောပေါက်လာစီဒီအနတ်နေတိုင်းရနေတော့ဒါပေမဲ့ရိုးရိုးလေးအနတ်တစ်ခုရတဲ့အချိန်မှာတဘောပေါက်လာနည်းနည်းနည်းနည်းဖြစ်ဘူးလေ
Yeah he says like you know he had an insight into smelling once and I mean he smells things every day but one day smelling something very simple he had a very deep insight yeah
So you said a couple weeks ago Saidel that that it's not about freedom it's about liberationand you I think you were saying you know like the trees are free the air is free is you know there's so much freedom all around and I think hearing Sally's example you know I get so satisfied with you know I think that the seeing of the greed and the seeing of the hatred is freedom and just stop at that level but I think he's saying you know these investigative questions are pushing towards liberation that freedom is not such a big thing you know we can do that easily just the seeing of these things but
yeah
to go for it
oh
so he talks more about his understanding
and
ပြောလို့ရတာပေါ့လူတဘာဝတိုင်းဖြစ်နေတာမြင်တာ freedom ရှိတယ်
yeah
ဒါပေမဲ့လွတ်မြောက်တယ်လို့ပြောလို့မရဘူ
း yeah so he says understanding that everything that's happening is nature he says so not being identified with it gives a sense of freedom but it doesn't mean we're liberated yet
can you say what word he's freedom
I want ဦးဇင်းပြောတာစဉ်းစားလား freedom နဲ့ liberation ကိုအတိတ်ပဲဦးဇင်းမြင်တယ်လို့မြင်တာပြောတာစဉ်းစားတော့စဉ်းစားဖို့ပေါ့ဦးဇင်းစဉ်းစားတာ freedom ထက် liberation ကိုသဘောကျတယ်ပြော
Yeah he had been thinking about the words freedom and liberation in English and he doesn't know that much English but he how he understood these words he says it seemed to him that freedom expressed a sense of being free like in a conventional sense
in natural sense
yeah so but liberation was something much higher
mm-hmm.
and we could feel free in the moment because we can have some anger and be non-identified or you know like she said he had explained to her about you know nature and all that being free but it doesn't mean we're liberated not completely enlightened yeah.
I have an experiential question. So, let's see if I can put this in words. For the past few years, I've been having hot flashes. And I don't know if Burmese people...
Oh yeah, they do too. They do.
So, the hot flash would come, the bodily experience would come.It, but it would also affect the mind.
Mm-hmm.
and very quickly it would affect the mind. So when in the past the experience would come, the primary experience would be heat in the body, various expressions of heat and coolness in the body. And then in the mind, it would be sometimes confusion, sometimes fear, sometimes anger in the mind. And so in the past, while noticing those as objects, it would be as if I would just have to wait, just keep noticing, 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 and it would soon pass. In that kind of practice, there would be the continual noticing of what was happening, and the noticing that what's happening is changing. But still it would take its course. And sometimes, depending on the strength of the physical hot flash, it might take 30 seconds, it could take 2 minutes, you know, that kind of thing. So this time, with Sayadaw's instructions, I made the inclination to turn the attention towards the mind. But really, I didn't, I'm just really taking instructions, just no agenda, just relaxing around it. And in turning the attention towards the mind, colored by this object, these changing objects, there seemed to be a kaleidoscope of experience. It would be many different things can't even name, you know, can't even name if it's confusion, just a kaleidoscope of experience. That would take a second. And the rapidity of the vanishing of that mind would be so quick. So why is that?
Because of the right attitude. Because although you watched him before too, he says there was probably a sense of waiting for it to go away. So when the mind that is watching changes its attitude quickly, then very quickly you see that its perception of what's happening is different already. Because you said, you know, no agenda, acceptance, just following of instructions.
And he said in very simple terms, he says, right attitude is wisdom. There was a wisdom to it. And he says, and when the mind changes, he says, all the things in the body that are affected by the mind are also affected positively or negatively, depending on where the mind has gone.
That was the very highlighted experience, how the body would change so quickly. And in the past, even though there was a sense that the mind was already calm,
He says, so what it shows for the previous experience is that because of the expectation also, that when even though the mental states have subsided, he says some aversion to what's happening is still left. And he says it's aversion. The nature of aversion is to label things as painful. That's why he doesn't believe pain so much. Pain is a construct of the averse mind.
The mind isn't really being seen as clearly.
Even, you know, physical matter, rupa, he says, to see ultimate reality of rupa is only possible when the mind has no lobha dosa moha. Because paramattha, being an ultimate reality, can only be understood by wisdom. He says the ordinary mind that's being mindful cannot see paramattha. Paramattha is only understood by wisdom.
Why is it that there are certain so-called painful sensations in the body that at certain points, certain times in practice, it's no longer pain, it's just sensations moving. But there are certain sensations, like this hot flash thing, that it seems there's always a mind reactivity towards. I mean, I guess I know the answer why, the right and wrong attitude, but it's really interesting to me that there can be certain painful sensations in them that turn not painful, but they still have the strength. And there can be other experiences that the mind doesn't have the strength to see through sometimes.
He says it's the thought towards the object always that determines the state of mind and how it's, that's why he had that question for himself, whether he was only not reactive to a sound, or all objects. Have you ever noticed, like which kind of sounds have the most effect on us? Mm-hmm. Like affect us?
No, for example, the creaking in the hall, the wood sound, at first it was aversion would come, little bit aversion, irritation. But now when it comes, it's nice. It's the sound, because there's something to work with.
It's all in the attitude. He says he'll come. Take one of those creaky plastic bags and
not to go to the school.
Sometimes you get to know who's coming in, like Marcia, whoever is on our side. And so when that opportunity comes, then I just watch how the mind is reacting to that whole situation, to now this creek, and then this is Marcia, and then just the whole experience around that, it becomes really interesting.
Yeah.
And the different reactivities or lack of reactivity towards the bigger picture, towards the whole person, towards whatever.
Yeah. So, ကစိတ်ဝင်စားစရာကောင်းတယ်လေအခုကအဲ့လိုမျိုးတွေကြိုက်တော့အခွင့်ရေးရတယ်စိတ်ကအဲ့ထက်မှာဘလို့ပေါ်လဲဒီတန်ကြားလို့လို့ချင်တာအဲ့ပုံမှာ reaction ရှိလားမရှိလားအကုန်လုံးပေါ့အသေးစိတ်ရော
အဲ့ attitude ပဲတိချင်တဲ့စိတ်ရှိတယ်တဘာပေါ့
right he says you see the attitude has become an adventurous a playful one
now yes, yeah
sure yeah
အဲ့ဒါပဲမြတ်သူအထူးရောက်ပေါ့
then you can practice anywhere he said yes
so I remember
going back to pain and pain being coming from the aversive mind, just an example. Years ago, I was practicing and I was sitting for a long time and I had pain in my knee. And I was in a place where I was not interpreting it. I didn't have aversion in the mind, I was just watching it as sensation. But it was very intense sensation. Then I got up, and after all that time, I realized I had damaged my knee. Mm-hmm. And so it took a long time to heal.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if I had recognized it or as pain, I might have interpreted, I should do something.
Yeah, no one man.
Damage
it, what am I? Damage
what? သမားတိရှိတော့ तू ကဟိုကဖြစ်တာလေ तू ကနားလည်းလို့မထင်ဘူးအဲ့တော့ तू ကအကြိုက်ထိုင်ဒါပေမဲ့အဲ့တစ်ခေါက်က तू ကထိုင်နေတာကဘာမှမဖြစ်ဘူး तू ကဟိုဖိထားတော့ဒီတိုင်းပဲနားလည်းလို့စိတ်ကမထင်ဘူးနားလည်းဒါပေမဲ့အဲ့ခံစားမှုက intense ဖြစ်မှာတော့တည်တယ်ညှင်းထန်တယ်မှတော့တည်တယ်စိတ်ကနားလည်းဆိုတော့စိတ်နဲ့မတုတ်ပြောင်းဒါပေမဲ့ထား
လို့တင်လို့လို့တင်လို့ရမယ်မတုတ်ပြောင်းတာပြီးပြီညံ तू ဒေါသမရှိဘူးမလားဘာလို့တင်လဲဟုတ်လား
He says, even when there's no aversion, there should still be wisdom about what the appropriate thing to do is.
Damage it, don't you? Yeah, no, but
if we've damaged something, he can only say that was a sign of lack of wisdom.
Right. I found that it's hard to when I'm in that state of where it's just sensation.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to know.
ဒါသမား
တိများလို့သူပြောတယ်။ Yeah, ဒါပေါ့သမားတိများနေ Yes.
तू ကပြောတယ်အဲ့လိုမျိုးနားတယ်လို့မထင်တဲ့နေရာမှာရောက်နေရင်တဲ့။ तू က
နားတယ်လို့မထင်ဘူးဒါပေမဲ့ဒီ sensation ဖြစ်နေတာသိတယ်။
Yeah, he says although your mind is not interpreting it as pain, it knows this sensation is happening.
Yeah.
Also, whether there was too much concentration which suppresses ordinary understanding of pain of sensation as it is rather than suppressed and not knowing what it is.
နာနေမှတော့တည်တာပေါ့ဥမာဥစဉ်ကောင်း accident ဖြစ်နေတာလीပိန်လို့မထင်ဘူး sensation တကူတော့ရှိ
Yeah he says like when he had that accident
ဒီကလေးတကူကူဖြစ်ရင်ဒီမှာတိုးလာမှာရောဒါဆိုလုတ်တင်လာလုတ်ပါမလी
He had this accident I mean he didn't feel what had you know he had this thing had split open he didn't feel pain there he said but he could feel a sensationAnd then, I mean, he would watch out for whether that sensation was increasing or decreasing. And then, if necessary, he would do something about it. He says, understanding is doing its own work. But what's really what's happening at a conventional level is also happening.
It's sort of following up. And you're talking about, again, the balance between, when you talk about so much samadhi, that there's not room for wisdom.Heard you say that.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it made me think of a time when I was at Shui Min Center, And I was not having pain, but it was kind of these unpleasant, kind of restless sensations in my body, in the sitting, when I was sitting. And I knew from past experience, in the sitting, meditation, if I got more concentrated, more focused, I could be quite okay.
Yes.
You know, there would be, wouldn't be aversion in the mind and quite okay. But I deliberately didn't do that. Just see, to be. And it was much harder. It was much more difficult to have a quantumous mind with these. It wasn't really even pain without using, kind of amping up the concentration. It was much more difficult to be balanced and not move.
ตัวโหตมาดิโหไส้กับตมาดิไม่ตรงเองตัวน่าละหมอเนาะไส้แต่มาคานะกูเนี่ยมันยาฉี่ยาฉี่ขึ้นตาบลุพ่อมะแหละอเตยยาไม่ขึ้นตาฉะหลุนี้ก็เลยโหอะยังน้องอ่ะส่วนตัวไส้ฉี่ไล่ตัวขึ้นกับขึ้นตัวตมาดินะผิดตาไล่มาดิโหมันเอซิซิฉี่มั้ยส่วนโหแค่แต่ละโหเป็ดกันบาเจ้าเลยรู้
He
said if you amp it up, you sort of focus, you sort of suppress the reaction, then you'd never get to watch it, understand it. Now you can see the reaction and
try to get the power of it out. He doesn't need
people to not feel pain. It's to see what is happening as it is, and if there's a reaction in the mind, to learn how to watch a reaction. And then if ever, you know, it becomes a state where, you know, the mind doesn't react, then okay, then what do you do with
it?
He says, if there's no aversion in the mind, no greed in the mind, he says, then what should he do? What should he do right now? And is there any way to do it better? He says, if he goes by that, checking these, he says, then there shouldn't be any problem. Because there's no lobha dosa or moha, That's why he says, if we just suppress it with samadhi, then wisdom doesn't work. He's done that before too. You know, his samadhi is very strong. He could look at things and just not feel them. He thought it was great. But he says no understanding of anicca dukkha anatta, nothing will come. He said for him it was a game. He said it was like he was shooting with his samadhi all these points of pain. He would look at it and would just He says so when the mind is very strong, he said it can do that, sure.
Yeah.
But he says, what about when it's not? What if you're debilitated? You're in bed all day.
Yeah.
Nearly that, your body also weak, my mind also weak. How to focus? I saw many yogi, maybe 25, 30 years ago, practice a long time, and nearly died. They said, I cannot meditate. Why? Because they think meditation is mindful focus. They focus, the mind is so weak.
No, I understand that. It was a little discouraging. I mean, that's because I thought all these years and still,
it's not important to be able to stand it, or to be able to sit with it or something. It's important to understand. He says when he had that accident, he wasn't trying to note anything. He said he just understood what was going on.
That time I'm not focused anything but anymore. Understand already, just sensation.
Didn't have to do anything or focus. He said that's why it's only if we practice until the mind really gets it, really understands that we can feel secure. He says he used to think when he was young, just live how I like, and then when it comes to the crunch, I'll really meditate.
No way. way, no way. No. So far.
But I do want to say that a long time ago, in practicing, in just noticing sensations as sensation and the mind as the mind, that was a time when there was a lot of concentration and there was noticing pain in the way that you were talking about. That was a very big opening into understanding that it's just all cause and effect, and it was just mind, just body. So that understanding came through that experience. That was very distinctly. One thing Sayadaw said that has made my mind open a little more around that was that, but that's old knowledge. Why do I have to keep doing that? Mm-hmm. So it was like, oh, right. Yeah, I don't have to keep doing that. Yeah. However, that understanding at that time many years ago mm-hmm. was very, very important. Mm-hmm. But I don't have to keep doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. စိတ်ကိုစိတ်လို့သိလို့ရတယ်ခံစားမှုကခံစားမှုပဲလို့သိလို့ရတယ်နာတော့နာတယ်လို့မထင်တော့ဘူးအဲ့လိုမျိုးတွေဖြစ်ခဲ့တယ်ဒါပေမဲ့အဲ့ချိန်တုန်းကအဲ့လိုဖြစ်လို့အကြောင်းကျိုးကြီးပဲလို့နားလည်လို့ရတဲ့ညံလည်းဖြစ်တယ်တဲ့ဒါပေမဲ့သူဦးစင်းတင်တာနဲ့သူဘလို့သဘောပေါက်လာလဲဆိုအဲ့ဒီချိန်တုန်းကဒီလိုလုပ်ခဲ့ဒီလိုကြီးပဲလုပ်နေဖို့မလိုဘူးလို့နားလည်လာတယ်အဲ့ဒီဟာဟိုညာအဟောင်းတိခဲတာအဟောင်းဖြစ်သွားပြီဒီလိုကြီးပဲဆက်လုပ်နေဖို့မလိုဘူးလို့သူအဲ့လိုနားလည်နေတယ်ဦးစက်တယ်လို့ဟိုအဲ့လိုလုပ်ခဲ့တယ်အဲ့ချိန်ကအရေးကြီးတယ
် Okay
အခုဟို
ပို့ပြီးတော့အတစ်ဟို open ဖွင့်ရမှာပေါ့
Right so now you can like open it to newer understanding ဆီ
အဲ့တော့ညာတစ်ခုဟာဒီကိုကအားထုတ်ထားတာဒီညာဒီတိုင်းမဲ့လာနေတယ်ဆိုတာတတ်နေတယ်ပေါ့
Yeah he says when we've understood something and we always come up against the same understanding over and over and it doesn't seem to grow from there then we know that something is stuck
meditation is not alive mm-hmm. understanding life not you
yeah maybe then understanding is not alive the understanding has stopped yeah that's cool
so Sarah I have a convoluted question for you
convoluted
so
okay. Yesterday we talked about the deluded type. Uh-huh. And this is out of being a deluded type and hearing instructions that are very articulate in language. And just over the course of this last month, feeling that the way that my mind processes is very much through felt sense, feeling its way into experience. And then suddenly, there's been an increase of information in the mind, an increase of investigation, and somewhere it felt like it cut the access to wisdom rather than helping to connect.
Cool.
So usually you feel your way through things, but in this month when there's been so much information and so much language, mm-hmm. you felt that it's actually been a hindrance to that usual perceptive or intuitive sense has been not helped by it, but shaken or hindered by it.
Yeah.
ဒါပေမဲ့သူ့အတွက်သူ့ပင်ပေါ်ညာအတွက်ဖြစ်လဲဆိုတော့ ဒီလိုစကားများများကြတော့လေပုံမှန်သူတုံးနိုင်တဲ့ညာကအထောက်ကူမရပါနဲ့အတားလို့ဖြစ်တယ်ပါဆိုပုံမှန်ဆိုရင်သူကခံစားပြီးသိတယ်အခုကျတော့စဉ်းစားညာများများဝင်တော့သူဟိုညာကိုတားတယ်လို့ဖြစ်ဟိုဘလို့အတားတော့မဟုတ်အပိတ်ပင်လို့ဖြစ်တယ်သူကအထောက်ကူမဖြစ်ပါနဲ့ပုံမှန်သူသိမစဉ်းစားပါနဲ့သူကခံစားပြီးတော့မှန်အောင်လုပ်တယ်အခုကျတော့
He
says, you know, if you already have a natural intuitive sense that's working, he says, why take on all this language? He
says,
you don't need to. He says, you can hear all this. Don't hold on to those words, he said. He said, if you hold on to the words, then it complicates them. He says, whatever you hear, if you know you understand it, he says, you can let it go and just use what is there because it's already using all that. He's just speaking about
it. That's
why he says to people, Steve knows this very well. He says, listen to it and forget about it. Yeah, he says, if it's there in the back of the mind will just do it by itself.
Yes, the next question is how?
How
does the mind go? Because, I've worked with Saito in hearing what he says,
present moment, I have
to not to do something with it.
Yeah.
You know, because my mind wants to do something with it. It wants to have an intention to practice in a different way or to understand things a certain way from what I've heard. And so my effort is to not do anything conditioned by what Saito says. It sounds kind of like, it opens up a different way of knowing.
အဲ့တော့နားလည်သွားတယ်။ဦးစင်းပြောတာတော့နားထောင်ပဲ။ပြီးရင်ဒီလိုပုံစံနဲ့လုံးမိဖို့ကြိုးစားနေမှာ။တတိထားပဲအဲ့ဒါလုံးမိဖို့ကြိုးစားရတယ်။အဲ့တော့သူကနားထောင်အောင်တော့တမျိုးကြီးသူတို့ရည်တယ်အဲ့လိုပြောတော့ဒါပေမဲ့သူပြောတဲ့ကြားထားပြီးတော့ဒါမလုံးဒီဟောက်သွားပြီးတော့ instruction
နဲ့လုံးဖို့မကြိုးစားဘဲနဲ့နေတော့တဲ့။နောက်တစ်မျိုးနည်းနဲ့သိတဲ့ပုံစံဖြစ်လာတယ်လေ။ရည်ကြီးတာကိုယ်စိတ်ကဘလို့လုံနေလဲငြင်းနေဖို့။
He says, well, he said it took him many years to be able to articulate this. It's true that it's easy to speak of it,
I can see where my mind hooked into the listening more was fear of complacency.
Fear of
complacency. But just say that, for now, Tom, right now, you would use that as a sick, but go look down the lap, pull up,
balance. This is balance. It can't be too much, right?
He says balance is so important. Not even any one factor can be a little out of
balance. Oh, I'm not sure.
Some sutta he read, he said it's mentioned that if any of the one of the five faculties becomes exceptionally strong, it depresses the other four. So if samadhi becomes too strong, awareness and effort become weak. Wisdom become weak. That's why people who have samadhi become sleepy. If there's too much wisdom also,
right understanding of
but that kind of wisdom is not the intuitive wisdom, it's usually when
when it's wisdom of the intellectual kind,
Saddha and Panya, not balance. If something up, yeah. Then not smooth. Meditation not smooth. Yes, I have a balance, good balance, good chain. I have the Mawizia de Mapa, the Mawizia, Wizia Nian, the Mawizia de Mapa. Balance chain that.
He says this balance is very important, and Dhamma Vichaya is that quality that helps to balance.
Dhamma Vichaya Pichang Lema, in the Nita Mizapa.
He says one of the reasons, proximate causes of Dhamma Vichaya, he said, is understanding how to balance the five qualities.
Yes, okay.
So I noticed when you refer to meditation practice, you usually refer to the Indriya five faculties.
Mm.
But I know for my practice, the seven factors of enlightened Bhojanga are ones that seem more useful or more relevant. I'm just curious why you emphasize the five faculties, not like the seven factors.
What is going to part of it?
Yeah,
they say that. What is going to part of it? He prefers the five faculties. He sometimes mentions this
Bhojanga. How
when he talks about the seven factors of enlightenment, he talks about how three of them are causes or conditions. And the other four effects, and how a person practicing can only apply themselves to the practice of what is cause. So they can apply awareness or Dhamma Vichaya or effort, but they can't try to make the other.
Samadhi is an effect, not cause.
Samadhi is an effect, it's not a
cause. Piti, Padadi, Upekha. Cause of Uthiyan Puyo, Uzabe, effect of Tua Dulale.
So his emphasis is really on the causes, the effects will come by themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd like to ask Saito a question about mind and body. At this point in the retreat, a lot of what is happening is a sort of unwinding of old tension. And in daily life, in busy life, tension builds up, and then aversion grows because there is tension. And coming into retreat, I see aversion is there often with the tension, but the mind has forgotten that the mind created tension.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I remember, I can't just watch tension from a place of aversion because somehow that splits mind and body. So then at some point I understand that and mind and body come together again. And there's like some meeting of aversion and tension, and when the two meet then they start to melt. And harmony is returned. But then another question, of any comments I'd be interested in. Another question is, I can sort of get the mind, put the mind back there through habits of like coaching tips, meditation coaching tips. Is that something that Sayadaw thinks is useful, or should I always go back just to wisdom and understanding as the starting point?
You have to explain to me what you mean by the mind comes together with the body.
Okay. It's a little hard to explain, but the felt sense is that there has been a little bit of a splitting of an observer that maybe is sustained through thinking, but there's a sense of being a step back from the experience of the tension and observing it at a distance.
But observing with aversion.
Yes, observing with aversion and a sense of separation.
So if there's no more observing with aversion, then there is an acceptance of what it is, so you feel like the mind and body come together.
Yes. Yeah, the split goes away, and it feels like the two merge is the only way I can think of to say it, and that restores the harmony.
Yeah, okay.
Harmony to go that way. Okay.
Tua abima tua tengge ra di ma tua a mya song chi ni ya da teng teng na yo yo ni da chi ni da tua aversion ne chi ni le so yin tua kwa ni ga dukkha za de di de ma
ကြည့်နေတာ
ဘာချင်းဖြစ်
ဖြစ်နေတာလေကိုယ်ကနေဘာဆိုတော့မချိုက်ဘူ
း
ဒီဟာအဲ့တော့ဒီတင်းနိုင်ပဲကြည့်လို့မရအောင်ဘာဆိုတော့အဲ့ဒါဆိုရင်တော့ကိုယ်ကနေတယ်လို့ဖြစ်တယ်နှစ်ခုကွင်းနေတယ်လို့ဖြစ်တယ်ဒါမှမချိုက်ဘူ
း
မချိုက်တဲ့စိတ်ကိုရှင်းလိုက်ပြီးမချိုက်တဲ့စိတ်ကိုပြန်ကြည့်မယ်ဆိုရင်မချိုက်တာမရှိတော့ဘူးဆိုရင်လည်းအဲ့ဆိုရင်ဒီနှစ်ခုကဟာမနီဖြစ်တယ်ဆိုတော့သူကနှစ်ခုကပြန်ကိုးသွားတယ်လို့ဖြစ်ရင်အဲ့ဆိုရင်ဒါရီကရော့သွားတယ်လို့သူကပြောတယ
်
And then can we go on to the second part?
Okay, so second question is, then there are a few sort of coaching tips that I remember. I can sort of put myself back there if I remind myself to.
Back there?
Into the harmony.
Oh, into the harmony.
I can sort of restore it just with one kind of instruction. Or
can you give an example of an instruction?
An instruction, it would be, as okay, here's the way I say it to myself. Imagine the observing is coming from the whole body.
Mm-hmm.
So earlier the observing part would be maybe up here.
Would be very head.
Yeah, sort of head and neck and looking down at body.
Right.
And then dropping the observing into the whole
yeah.
body then comes back there. That's one example.
Mm-hmm.
So is it decided I think it's good to do something like that coaching tip or should I always go back to wisdom?
So you're thinking wisdom is head?
No, no, not necessarily. But should I try always to find that original insight that did the restoration of the harmony? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was an insight that brought it back.
Can you articulate that insight?
It was just the insight that the aversion created the tension in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
And the moment the mind understood that,
mm-hmm.
it became harmonized, right?
In a very short time. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to get this clear so I can telegram you.
Yeah.
And if you articulate or remind yourself of this insight, does the same effect happen again?
It can. Or I can do one of those sort of coaching
right.
tips.
Right, okay.
Coaching tip, Papa.
Maybe. Coaching tip, ka upama to apyore. ตัวดีโลกาวเนี่ยตัวดีกาวเนี่ยขนาดกูเนี่ยกวาดเลยกาวก็นี่ฉิเลยขนาดกูอ่ะดีมาส่วนเองเนี่ยตัวเวเลยป่ะกวาดเลยไอ้มาตัว2မျိုးนี้เนี่ยซ้อซ้อจะပြောได้ฮาร์โมนีเปลี่ยนยากหมดลงลงยากตะคู่อ่ะตัวไอ้โคชชิ่งทิปตะคู่ตรงน่ะเดี๋ยวไป example ตะคู่ไปว่าสอดีโลမျိုးตัวเปียดีโลซินซาฉิตัวยอกิเลยเปียขนาดกูตะโกลงเนี่ยมาติเนลงยากအဲ့တော့တည်နေတဲ့သဘောကတကောလုံးမှာ
တ
ည်နေလို့ရတယ်လို့ပြောရင်အဲ့ဆိုရင်တည်နေတဲ့သဘောကဒီဖြစ်နေတဲ့ဟာထဲမှာ
တ
ပြိုင်တည်းဖြစ်နေလို့အဲ့ဆိုပုံသက်တာ
Yes
အဲ့တခု
Yes
မဟုတ်ရင်နဲ့ဥစဉ်ပြောတဲ့ပုံစံနဲ့ပဲလုံးအောင်မလားတဲ့သူကပြောတယ်တပြိုင်ပြောအဲ့တော့ဥစဉ်ပြောတဲ့ပုံစံ तू ကညံဘက်ကိုပဲပြန်လာအောင်လားလို့မေးတယ်တပြိုင်ပြော तू ကညံဘက်ကိုပြောတယ်ဆိုတာညံကိုခေါင်းမှလို့ထင်တာလားဆိုတော့အဲ့လိုမဟုတ်ဘူးတဲ့ညာဆိုတာသူစောစောကသဘောပေါက်တဲ့ဟာကိုပြန်သုံးတာကိုပြောတာတပြည့်အောင်မေးတယ
်
သူစောစောကဘာသဘောပေါက်တာလဲဆိုတော့ तू ကအော်ဒီတင်းနေတယ်တင်းတာက
ဒေါသကြောင့
်ဒေါသကြောင့်တင်းတာလို့သဘောပေါက်တဲ့အချိန်မှာ तू ဟာဖြစ်သွားတယ်လေရော့သွားတယ်အဲ့တပြည့်အောင်မေးတယ် तू အဲ့လိုသုံးရင်ရောရလားတစ်ခါတလေရတယ်တဲ့ तू
အဲ့တော့ separate လုပ်တယ်ဆိုတာဘယ်လိုပြောမလဲဟမ်ဘယ်လိုရှင်းရမလဲဒါလည်း concept ပဲเนาะဒီ nature နှစ်ခုမတူတာရှင်းလို့ရှိရင်နှစ်ခုကွဲတာထင်ရှားရင်တော့ separate လို့ဖြစ်နေတတ်တယ
်။
ဒါပေမဲ့ဒီ separate ကလည်းပညာပဲ။
Yeah. He says you know a sense of separation is really a concept.
Mm-hmm.
When we understand that the nature of the known and the knowing are just two different natures, the stark contrast of their natures feels like he says or is visualized by the mind as a separation between the two natures, but the separation is just a concept. There's just two different natures, but it's not like you're separate. I mean, in time and space or something, those are all concepts.
တိတဲ့စိတ်ကိုပို့ပြီးအာယုံယူနိုင်လာပြီဆိုရင်တိတဲ့စိတ်ပဲမှနေအာယုံကဒီထဲရောက်နေလို့ပြ
Yeah.
တူတူလိုပဲဒီထဲမှာဒါပေမဲ့မတူ nature မတူတာတော့တိတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့အချိန်ထဲမှာပြိုင်နေဖြစ်နေလို့
He says, when there's a clear understanding of the sense of knowing, he said, it feels like everything is happening in the knowing, or everything. So it's all in the same.
to use the word space. Mm-hmm. It's all happening together. It's not separate. But you clearly see the distinction between the nature of the knowing and the known.
ဆာမလူတွေကဒီမှာထင်တယ်တွေးတာလို့တိတာလို့ဒီနားလောက်မှာထင်ခံစားတာဒီမှာထင်တယ်နော
် In the beginning people think thinking is here and feeling is here
aware here knowing here feeling is here but that concept
but those are concepts
ဟုတ်အ
ဲ့တော့
အဲ့အဲ့ထဲမှာပဲဘယ်အာရုံရှိတယ်တိစိတ်ရှိတယ်ဉာဏ်ရှိမှာဒါပဲ
So he says regardless of whether you use the wisdom or the observation of the body or whatever, he says if there's awareness, an object, an understanding, that's enough. Sometimes he talks about a field of awareness when he's teaching. He says, but that's a concept too.
So
what's really important is to understand or perceive the nature, the different natures that are at work.
And be recognizing them, that's all. He says,
the mind will create concepts of space, direction, a place where they're watching something. He says, if the yogi notices that they're placing something or trying to place something, he says, or they have a direction like pull, push, or up, down, something is going up and things like that. He tells them to remember that the experience is just felt and that sense of direction is concept. So he tells them if possible to recognize its concept and not be carried away by the concept, not to believe in the concept and to come back to the reality of
yogi ne concept ayon pyu da mya twa yin twa direction ayon pyu da mya yin do lou daw
he says if yogis pay too much attention to concepts of direction and all, for example, they start moving
belo move le dilo
This way, that way.
Lama.
Like this.
Lama. Direction, I don't know what you're
doing. Because they pay too much attention to the.
Look, that direction is shit. What direction is look that way?
He said they might be watching movement, and they interpret that the movement has a direction. And once they do that, they start moving in that direction.
I just want to look in that body.
And on top of that, there's a desire to move.
One thing I've noticed in practicing this way is that when a defilement arises in relationship to experience, when I make the defilement an object for attention, there's a corresponding sense of self kind of created. But when I recognize the observing mind as defiled, there doesn't seem to be a corresponding sense of self. And it's much, it's,
Okay, first sentence you said, there is a defilement in relation to an object. You said. He said, did the object cause the defilement? No, it seems like. ကြည့်တဲ့သဘောကကိလေသာနဲ့ကြည့်မယ်လို့မြင်တဲ့အဲ့လိုမျိုးမြင်အဲ့ဆိုငါကြီးသိအောင်ကြည့်ရတယ်
ဟဲ့
အဲ့ဒါကြောင့
်ကိလေသာမရှိဘူးဆိုရင
်နော်သူကကိလေတခုခုကြောင့်ကိလေသာဖြစ်မ
ယ်အာကိလေသာပြန်ကြည့်တဲ့ချိန်မှာငါကြည့်နေတဲ့ချိန်အဲ့
ငါကြီးသဘော
အဲ့ချိန်မှာအဲ့ချိန်မှာစိတ်ကငါလို့ထင်တာဟုတ်ပြီနော
်ဒါပေမဲ့
ကြည့်ရစိတ်ထဲမှာကိလေသာရှိရင
်ရှိတယ်လို့အဲ့လိုမျိုးမြင်ငါကြီးစိတ
်ဘာကြောင့်လဲဆိုတော့ကြည့်တဲ့စိတ်ကိုမြင်လို
့ He says because when you look at the defilement when you watch the defilement there is a sense that I am watching the defilement but when you see the observing mind with the defilement in it he says you already see the watcher
object at all
when the watcher becomes the object he says there's less of a sense of I being the watcher
ဒါရှင်းနေ
ဒါကြောင့် awareness of awareness ဆိုပြင်ဒီ awareness ဘယ်လိုလုပ်ငါငါပြောပြ
He says that's why when there's awareness of awareness how can you make the awareness my awareness
awareness to objectively သူမြင်လိုက်လို့
when you see awareness objectively
အဲ့ဒါအနောက်မှာနောက်ငါလည်းကိုရှိအောင်မှာပေါ့
He says then there must be another eye behind the awareness
ဒါမဲ့တခါသဘောပေါက်သွား watch ကငါမဟုတ်စိတ်လိုသဘောပေါက်ရင်နောက်ပါလေအကုန်သဘောပေါက်လေ
But he says if even once the mind understands that the watcher is not me the watcher is just watching he says forever the mind understands that all the ones that come behind who came
No like this ya bro don't need to look like this already know
don't have to look like
Having recognized the difference between those two that I mentioned, it now seems like if I make any intention to practice mindfulness, or practice mindfulness, that it sets up this kind of there's an object to be paying attention to.
Right.
But if I don't do anything, it seems like the recognition of awareness happening occurs more frequently.
ตัวดีโลนคู่ตูมีบรอตบอปอกแต่อะคาพี่รอเนี่ยบะโลพี่แล้วซอตะคู่พี่พี่โลตะดิท้าแมโลโลอเมกวยนี่ตูโลคันซ่าได้ดีโลบ่เพเนี่ยตะคู่พี่นี
่
ตะดิท้าบ่บ่เพเนี่ยบ่มาบ่เพเนี่ยเนี่ยพี่นี่เราติปิดา recognize กะชิปิดานัมบรอโปตะบาวะจาจาโปพี่ตูโล
ไอ้เหรอซุซอมอ่ะปรมาบะโลเนี่ย
ปรมาโห
ดีโลติปิดาพี่นี่ตะคู่กวย
ကိုစောစောကသူပြောတဲ့ဟာနားအဲ့ဒီဟာနားလေလိုက်တော့တဲ့သူစိတ်ကအခုဘာပုံမြင်လဲဆိုတော့တခုခုဖြစ်လို့တတိထားမယ်ဆိုရဲစိတ်ဖြစ်အမြဲကွဲနေတယ်လို့ပဲ
။
ဒီလိုမဟုတ်ဖက်နဲ့တတိထားမိတဲ့အချိန်မှာဘာမှမလုပ်ရင်နဲ့တတိထားမိပြီးသားပိုချာချာဖြစ်တယ်မှုန်ပုံမြင်ရ
တယ်။အဲ့ဒါတတိထားမယ်ဆိုတဲ့အချိန်မှာ तू ကပါနေလို့
။
အဲ့တတိထားမယ်ဆိုတဲ့ idea ပါနေလို့ဒီ idea ကြောင့် तू ကကွဲတယ်လို့ဖြစ်တာ
။
အမှန်ကမကွဲဘူး။မကွဲဘူး
တော့တော့ရိုးရိုးဘာမှမလုပ်ဖက်နေတာ
တော့အဲ့ဒါတ
ော့ပို့ပြီးတော့တတိရှိ
Yes right
he says because
right
he says now the mind already understands so when there is an idea to pay attention to something he says that idea sets up this separation but when you don't use an idea but the recognition is already happening obviously he said that's so natural happens naturally
try to be clear on that it's reminding me so just kind of describe it's not exactly a question but maybe Saigon has something to say I was thinking last night about effort and the subtle you know how Saigon says you know no effort just recognition and I was noticing in my mind how often as Steve says it's just without any real effort there's just recognition of awareness but I've been noticing over the last few monthswhen that's just naturally the recognition there's that just not involved with any whatever's happening mental activity that not involvement and that seems trustworthy and there's no effort but sometimes and no more than sometimes it feels like that non-involvement turns into moha you know just, you know it's not doesn't feel like wisdom anymore it's turned into
apathy
yeah apathy or disconnect a little bit moha And I was noticing last night this sense of just recognition, no effort, but sometimes a little effort needed because the habit of the, whatever, is a little stronger than the habit of worse. So then there's some little effort seems necessary.
Tu a pyo di na song la re ma tu tu di tha mi na ba le so ro. Mo u sin a pyo a the mu mo lo recognize lo ni yong be. Ya. Recognize lo ni take involvement phi phit da ha take involvement phi aro ai da ma nan nan si cha mu phi da
lo
chong mu phi da mae naw pi ma ba da ni cha mu la so cha cha involvement phit da o si cha ni ba phit da la so si ka nan nan de ka ran te cha ti da raw mho tu ma ti da lo na de ka ran
ga
yu ma sai daw a lo ni phit da ho ma sai daw lo so ra ko wa de ka ho thi twi ni da ma hoh daw de ka tu na in touch မဟုတ်တော့ဘာဆိုတေချာတိနေတာမဟုတ်တော့
အ
ဲ့တော့ကိုယ် involve တော့မဖြစ်ဘူးဒါပေမဲ့တကယ်တော့စိတ်ကနည်းနည်းမောဟဝင်နေလို့
အဲ့
လိုမျိုးအဲ့လိုမျိုးတတိထားပြီးတော့မနေ့ကသူစဉ်းစားမိတယ်တဲ့အဲ့တော့ဒါလည်း balance ရှိတယ
်
ဟို
Right, he says, there always has to be right effort. That's why he doesn't like to use the word effort.
So sort of I have to get interested a little bit in that moha and that kind of, I don't want to do it.
Interest, shima, effort here.
He said if there's interest, effort is there.
Now, kuna du pyo da, kuna pyo low me so yin tri tha me so tu idea o idea da object da sai di idea pa lo nakhu kwe kwe do la a thuk ka sa lu ri ma nakhu kwe da ye shi a thuk lu sai kai saung chi tat do yin ni ta khu the ma phit da ta khu the ma ta bang ne ai ma ba phit de a myai phit ni de
this is when you were talking you said just now about when the mind thinks it, you know, wants to pay attention to something, there's a separation. He says because when the mind works with that idea of going to watch something, he says the old idea of how meditation watching is supposed to be kicks in. Mm-hmm. And he says that's what happens with beginners. When they watch, there's always the separation between what's happening and what's watching. And he says, but when you've been practicing a long time and it becomes very natural, he says it's always the watching and all that's being watched happening all together. Although there's a clear distinction between the nature of the knowings and the knowns, it's there's no feeling of separation anymore. Mm-hmm. There's no dichotomy. He says a lot of yogis who get to that, they feel like they're sitting submerged in water and everything is happening in the water.
That's from you.
What the bottom of it?
But they're one with the. I mean, they're in there with what everything that is being experienced.
Okay. Interesting.
I've been noticing that when I sit too long, it goes more into moha, and the mind isn't as clear. So I get up, and the mind seems to be more alert in walking, at least during this time.
He said it has nothing to do with the sitting posture, but really how the mind is working. He says if the mind is really interested in what, you know, what's going on and exploring and so on, he says you could sit the whole day and the mind would just be active. So it's not the sitting that brings sleepiness. It's the softening in the mind of the working of the mind. You know, if we don't notice the softening, then you know the mind gets sleepy.
Balance, but the work meditating mind balance out of that one.
When the balance goes out.
Meditating, what do you mean? Balance, yin yin, that one.
He says he understands meditation as balancing the work of the mind. He says, and when we get that balance right, he says, then insight arises in those moments.
He says, when we get that balance right,
he says, then insight arises in those moments. He says, when we get that balance right, he says, then insight arises in those moments. He says, when we get that balance right, he says, then insight arises in those.
Yeah.
Is there any defilement?
Right, tuning so it. Okay.
Well, in particular in the sitting, I should have been more clear, is that I've noticed the mind going more towards concentration.
And that's
the culprit, that it just goes more towards concentration. I can see it happening.
So
investigate the deal with interest.
So the investigation and interest has to increase.
Well,
he says He says, so when there's too much concentration, he says, the awareness and the other factors, you know, effort, interest, and so on, wisdom and all must increase. He says, but why is the samadhi increasing anyway? Are you looking at the object?
I think that I'm not so clear during that time. Yeah, that it feels like.
If the mind sort of leans towards the object more, the samadhi starts to rise.
Yes,
yeah. He says when you stay more on the side of the watching, mm-hmm. he says lean more towards that. He says because there's so much watching happening. He says the concentration just cannot sort of shoot too much. He says the mind has a pattern, so it will lean towards its old habit easily.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. Mm-hmm. That's a habit. And so
knowing mind is attached. Knowing mind is awareness. Knowing mind is
Okay. He's explaining there's what he calls the knowing mind, which is the consciousness, the vijnana,
mm-hmm.
and there's the awareness, which is sati.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if we can see the consciousness, which is knowing the object, I think you know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
He says, if we look at that aspect of it rather than the object itself, mm-hmm. he says, you stay away because there's so many of that.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing mind, you just know.
There are old habits, strong pillars.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, when you stay on the side of the knowing mind, he says, what the knowing mind does is it only just knows. It doesn't do anything else but know.
This nature, awareness,
and the knowing mind, what he calls the knowing mind, which is like the vijnana, the consciousness, like. Taste consciousness or what? Yeah, that consciousness has a slightly different function from the sati,
mm-hmm.
from the awareness. This watching mind, the awareness of the sati is what he calls the working mind. Is the mind that's meditating. That consciousness is there all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's always doing its thing, just knowing. It's like.
Knowing mind function of thing, object.
If we see that function of knowing, he says suddenly realize there's so much being known. He always says when yogis get to the point where they recognize that and they feel like there's so many objects sort of descending on them, he says it's like doing business and you suddenly have a lot of customers come to your shop.
When it's very busy. Mine is very busy.
He says, and in that state, very often, he says, especially yogis who've done samatha kinds of meditation, want to go back to doing concentrating. Because that's too... And that really shows their attachment to the samatha and the concentration. They don't like this state, they want that. They think knowing so many things is complicated or messy. He says, so from this point, the road between for vipassana and samatha start to split very... There was a yogi who wanted to, be aware of hearing or listening. So he told the yogi, don't listen to the sounds. He says, just be aware of hearing. So the yogi began just paying attention to what he was hearing. And then he realized that he was hearing four or five different sounds. And then immediately, once he heard the sounds, the yogi then tried to know each of the sounds in turn and then started getting tense again. So he said, when yogi said there's a lot of stuff becoming known, he always says, don't worry about what's being known. Come back to recognizing that awareness is still happening. And checking, is the mind still having the right attitude about being aware? Is it,
doesn't check the word.
အဲ့မှာစိတ်ကနှူးတွားစိတ်ကိုတိလာလို့အာရုံအများကြီးတိနေတာစိတ်ရဲ့တဘာဝကိုနည်းနည်းရေးမိလာပြီနှူးရင်းမိုင်းကိုသူတိလာလို့အာရုံအများကြီးဖြစ်လာတာ
And for the yogi it's because the mind is actually already you know sort of getting a hint of the nature of the knowing mind that's why the mind has started to you know so many objects so the mind has tuned in but the yogi doesn't really know
အဲ့တော့ယောဂီတွေပြောလာလိမ့်မယ်။နည်းနည်းအားထုတ်လို့သူ့အတူတတိတမကြီးတက်လာရင်လေအာရုံအများကြီးဖြစ်တာလို့ပြောလာတယ်။အဲ့တော့တချို့ဆရာတွေကအခုတက်ပြဆိုင်တယ
်။ So he often has you know people after a while saying that you know they feel like there's so many objects coming up and he knows and you know and he tells them how to do it but they say but before their instructions were when it becomes like that to go back to one object.
အဲ့မှာဟာစီတိုင်းရလာတယ်
That's Mahasi style.
But that's just
going back to Samatha.
To go back to one object.
Yeah.
Oh,
I wasn't taught that way.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
I said, I was just telling him who your teacher was and that he was a disciple of Mahasi Sayana. I said, but he was the teacher of all of the old guard, not the new generation of teachers.
Oh. Yeah. The di ye quality tell la.
Yeah.
Ayo tu phun bi ya ma, lo pai cha la.
Yeah, when the yogi starts knowing many things, it shows that the awareness is actually becoming more receptive and open, and that should be encouraged rather than getting the yogi to go back down to one object.
Okay.
Just on that note, this has been an experience that has happened a number of times where there is really an opening to much being known. And it's okay, and then suddenly it's not. There's a stickiness, aversion to the volume, sheer volume. And
ဒါတခါလေးဖြစ်တာလေးများရင်နဲ့တခါလေးအဲ့လောက်များတာကိုယ်လူလောမတူလို့ဖြစ်လို့စိတ်ကနည်းကတ်တက်တယ်မကြိုက်ဘူးလေအဲ့တော့ဒုက္ခရောက်တယ်လ
ေဟောမကြိုက်လားပဲကြည့်ပေါ့
This is just look at the aversion
aversion ပြဿနာလေဟိုကများတာပြဿနာမဟုတ်ပဲ
Yeah
aversion ပြဿနာလေ
This is because aversion is the problem not the volume
As you know, it's very quiet in the retreat center. Do you recommend that we break that a little by going out or talking or something? How do you
recommend that? I love you. 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 I love
you. Noble silence or about you?
He says, do you know what's meant by noble silence?
လုံးဝမပြောတော့ပြောတော့မဟုတ်ဘူ
း It's not about completely keeping quiet.
ဟုတ်အစတမားတွေတော့ထိန်းတာကိစ္စမရှိဘူး။နည်းနည်းအာထုတ်ဘူးတဲ့လူတွေ noble silence ဆိုတာလေပြောတဲ့ညမှာမြင်းမြင်းမြတ်မြတ်ပြောညံပါပါနဲ့ပြောတော့ noble silence ပြောတာ။တိတ်တိတ်ဆိတ်ဆိတ်နေတဲ့ညံမှာလည်းညံပါပါနဲ့နေတာ။ပြောသင့်ပြောမယ်မပြောသင့်မပြောမှအဲ့ noble silence ပြောမှာ
။
Right speech ပဲပြောပြော noble silence ပဲပြောငါအတူတူပဲ
။ He said maybe for beginners complete beginnersa little bit of restraint is helpful for them.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but once they practice a couple of times or something, he says, he really thinks that people should understand, he says, whether you call it noble silence or right speech, to him it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
He says, when speaking, if you're speaking, in Burmese the word is noble, right? Yeah. If you speak with noble intentions and noble and understanding or wisdom, he says, that's right speech, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when you are silent as well, he said to be silent because of wisdom and understanding. He says, so you speak when you're supposed to or when it's necessary to and you don't speak when it's not necessary to. That's noble silence.
Tadipatthana toma atitimbyo bhatiti tamsana kare hoti. Tongni bhawe tamsana kare hoti ta. Naku lo byo la bhabilo bhatiti yuma phyat tongni bhawe bhalo.
He says, you recognize those two words in Pali? In the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha said, Vasite kamajanas.
Bhadite tamajanakarihodi.
It means that when you are speaking, speak with awareness and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, when you are silent, be silent with wisdom and awareness and wisdom. He says, why do we only take the silent and forget about the talking? So what happens, he says, that people never learn to be mindful when talking.
Mm-hmm.
So when they go out, he says, they don't know how to do it. When you keep so quiet and you go out, he says, you don't even know how to speak. Yeah. So the talking is not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's whether there's wisdom or not. Why are we speaking? Is it necessary to speak?
What attitude are you speak?
What attitude are we speaking with?
So he recommends.
This is how he teaches at the center. If you come to the center, it's quite funny. Everybody thinks we're all going riot, you know.
Yeah.
So he said, it can go completely out of control.
Mm-hmm.
There can be people who are completely unmindful, don't remember that you're supposed to be mindful when you talk and stuff like that. So, you know, you have a mix of people who try and people who not.
What?
Huh?
I'm just kidding.
When I first went to the Sui Yuen Center to practice, I had strong determination to practice in silence and, you know, alone and just to really see what it was like. And I had a lot of judgment about all the talking and the walking and the social life. And it's just like, it was like, I did not believe that you could get samadhi, any kind of samadhi, with that kind of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I eventually succumbed to the
prevailing
behavioral practice. And
what behavioral practice?
You know, just kind of, you know, you check in, you talk, you walk, you know, it's more social.
Oh, yeah.
It's more social. And the experience, and this is the only way I can describe it, the samadhi feels much more pliable and less brittle. What's really
happening there?
He says
when you get samadhi from being quiet, he says that sort of samadhi is a bit tight. And it's like the word you said, brittle. He said it's so tight over this one condition that when that condition is not there, it's broken. It falls apart. Yeah, so it's fragile, actually, although it feels strong. But he says the other kind of samadhi, he says it's because you're still trying, despite the socializing, the ordering tea and all that, you're still trying through all that to be mindful.
Oh, right attitude about it.
And that's right attitude, because that's like, I'll try, you know, doesn't matter if you're good. And because of that, he says, if any samadhi develops from that,
okay.
And if you do develop samadhi from that, he says, it shows that you've become skillful at it because you're using a difficult terrain to develop the samadhi and the mindfulness.
So when you've gone through more difficulty to develop something, it's going to last longer. And it's more flexible because now it's not dependent on conditions. It's taken every condition to work with, so it's not set off by any condition. It's used the
most.
And so it doesn't matter if this condition is
that's like that.
And then, and also you have the right attitude. If I lose my mindfulness, so what? I start again? Mm-hmm. It's just been working with that all along. After all, how is it possible in daily life to have awareness all the time or have samadhi all the time? It's always touch and go, coming back again and again.
Right attitude, so
long as this right attitude and there is and there is many instances of coming back to awareness. He said that's good enough. And regardless of the time, place, situation or people you're with. He says if people have an idea, if only in this situation it can be like that, in that situation it can be like that, he says then you start with an inflexible idea. How is it going to be versatile?
So we have to open a chai shop there.
Yes. And the yogis must be workers in the chai shop. And then you have to ask the community to come to the coffee shop. Don't be on the SND mark. The thing is like, put your hand on it. We are going to yogi, the yak, the samanda. The yak, the peer, the
yak,
the yak, the yak.
Yogi, look, we are Yogi, look, we are down and down.
That just got recorded, Joseph.
You know where we teach in Italy, they have a coffee shop, a bar.
Yeah.
And it's part of the retreat center.
Oh.
Yeah. And so we had to integrate, they're going to have their cappuccino and lattes into the we had to integrate it into the retreat. And the yogis were very flexible.
Yeah.
You know, they were very good.
Yeah.
When they got in the hall, they were still quiet.
He says, you know, when we protect the yogis too much, they don't learn to survive. Yeah. You cripple them. He says the moment they don't have that protection, they get angry. They get upset. They think other people should be looking after them.
Yeah, they are very important.
At the center, he doesn't care about the yogis. They come with all their woes, food, blah, blah.
And they are what?
He said, because if you look after them too much, he said, it actually gives power to the
ego.
I'm a meditator.
It's
true. I remember seeing a yogi came and said, oh, I was sick in bed all week. And he said, oh, yeah, that's good for practice.
So we're making big babies, is that it?
Yeah. I look at it.
Yes, it's like that, isn't it? Yeah, what he's seen is that it's people who meditate in the midst of all the difficulties that are going to become mature.
I've seen that we can often cater to their weakness instead of to their strength.
He says at the center in Shui Umin, he says it's not that it's perfect. He says he tells people to be mindful, but not everybody is mindful, so it's actually a bit chaotic. So you have to
send him.
But here it's too quiet. He'd like to have the two together.
It needs balance.
But he can only talk to the yogi like one to one. He can say to a yogi, Do you really want to do it? Then do it. If you really want to get something from it, you have to really be serious about it.
Yogi, many. So some people, they very complain. Oh, who? What happened? What? What? What's your mind?
Yeah,
but the cushy is like, you know, say good word.
But one thing is true. He says, if there's more quiet, it's easier to see the mind. So he says we should be using the quietness. If there is quietness and it's available, he said that the yogi should be pushed to recognize and use that quietness to understand something further, to go the distance and develop their own wisdom.
No, but sometimes yogi keep your pure. Beginner, so you know, you are too good at losing your word.
Yeah, he says, so you would say, like, not to say to people noble silence, like blanket. He says, maybe to a beginner, like somebody who's never practiced before or a first time retreat or something, he would say, okay, noble silence for this person. But for the rest of the people, he wouldn't say noble silence anymore. He'd just say, be mindful in everything you try to do.
No, I was just thinking, when those two people meet.
He says, so that's why. He says, if that sort of situation comes up, it becomes another situation for the practice.
Why you want to talk?
Like, it can be pointed out to that experienced practitioner, so why did you go and speak to that person?
Necessary or not?
Yeah. Because it has to be wisdom based talk. So if he had wisdom and he understood that person didn't want to talk,
he
should go and
report
that person.
He need to know, no need to talk.
I mean, you get a few little incidents in the bathrooms. Not just in the bathrooms, Carol. No, I mean, it's when you realize you're thinking about...
Oh, my God. if they didn't talk, it would be like... But they would still have gone after each other.
Probably.
Yeah. God has a funny story when you're a monk with Pauk and you said to someone you're in noble silence.
I told this monk, he was trying to talk to me a lot, and I said, oh, I'm trying to practice in silence. He said, okay, you stay silent and I'll talk to you.
Right.
Because he would also tell the beginner to just watch their mind. It's not like they're crippled, right? They can still deal with it.
I have another funny story. I came from Sei Meng Gong. I was practicing there for a month. And then I came to visit Steve at Shui Min. So it was so quiet there. But a little bit talking, but mostly quiet.
Then at Sei Meng Gong?
At Sei Meng Gong. And then I came to visit Steve. And so I asked the man in the office, oh, Steve Armstrong. So he went out and he started saying, Armstrong!
What am I? A talking meditation load. I am that all.
Yeah. He says when he was in lay life and practicing talking meditation, he says it really strengthened his practice. It made his, he said his awareness and his concentration went up so much. But he really talked so much less, he said. Because he only spoke if it was important and it was beneficial.
He says when
people would come and talk to him, especially because he worked in the market, they would come, he would look at the person and his mind, and he said the first thing on his mind was not to say something, was not to respond. It was just to investigate this process.
Yeah.
He used that.
And then Atta Sivamagadila.
Yeah. He used the, you all know, the four kinds of right speech as part of his sila. So he expanded his five precepts to eight precepts using the four kinds of right speech. And he said that really pulled his practice up so strongly.
Talking awelulu.
But that's because he was aware of talking, he said.
In my local meditation group in New Mexico where I live, most of these students sit little retreat, not much retreat, and they practice in daily life primarily, and they speak about just about everybody feels that right speech or speaking meditation or practice in the midst of speech is the most difficult practice that they encounter. Yeah. And actually, when I was resident teacher here. For staff for those years, most staff expressed the same thing, that speaking meditation or practice in the midst of speech was the, it is the most challenging practice.
To shire to nire niya ma le tu wa amye yei ta wen na mo ai lu ya ko CIMC lo be ai ma a thot da nya tu lo a kon lo pyo de di ma tu IMS ma tu staff de atwa sia phit taw le a lo be staff de ya le pyo de စကားအပြောနေတဲ့အချိန်မှာတတိထောင်ပြတော့အတတိထားပြတော့ပြောဖို့အခက်ဆုံ
း အဲ့လိုအလေးချက်နေလ
ား It's because of lack of practice.
Yes, I think it's important to emphasize that, you know, in situations where it's appropriate to really work with
error
of speech.
When စကားပြောတဲ့အချိန်မှာစိတ်ကအလုပ်အများဆုံးလုပ်တယ
် Yeah, he says when we talk, he says the mind works the most. Thinking, seeing, listening, thinking about responding.
And the least aware.
That's why the mind is very busy. That's why awareness is more difficult to recognize. Okay.
So he made it a deliberate practice every time he spoke to try to remember to keep bringing the awareness back. He says it didn't matter if the awareness was aware of one particular thing or not. He just kept bringing it back. Yeah. While he continued talking or whatever, he would just keep making sure that this was coming back
to him. စိတ်ကအင်တန်ရှင်လာတယ်စကားပြောတယ်ဘေးကကြည့်စတင်းကပြနေတယ်အစီအစံနဲ့တူတူတူတူထွက်နေဘေးကကိုကဘေးရောက်
Yeah, he says after he'd been doing this for years, he said it really felt like, you know, he would see the process happening, there'd be a thought, speech, he said, and he would feel like he was watching it and it was like watching a stand gun. He said like it was going, shooting.
ပြောနေတာကကူမမဟုတ်ဘူ
း What's speaking is not him.
လက်ခံရုံးကြောင်မင်းဘာစကားပြောဘာလို့တတိထားလဲဘာလို့တတိထားပြီးပြောတာပြောတာဘလူလဲလို့သိချင
် A yogi once asked him, why do we need to be aware when speaking? And he says, because you want to know what you are. What speaking
who,
is,
who is
sorry,
speaking?
What is speaking?
Who is speaking?
Voice is speaking.
Body and mind process, speaking process.
Process
of mind.
Huh? When Jack and I were on retreat here for 6 months, it started because Jack's mother had a difficult situation. He was her primary caregiver. And so we would talk, we would go up to the farm, I think some of the teachers know, and we would walk up to the farm and talk, and then go back into retreat. And actually that was the time of the most skillful right speech, because we were in the energy actually is a retreat, and I think we could watch it really carefully. And it helped a lot, actually, then coming off of the retreat. It wasn't a lot of talking, but it was just, you know, one conversation a day, both with the same, holding the same intention.
တော့ပြောတယ်သူနဲ့ဂျက်နဲ့တခါတော့ဒီမှာ6လစကားလောက်ဝင်တယ်အဲ့စကားမှာဝင်တော့ဂျက်ကသူ့အမေနေမကောင်းတော့သူတို့နေ့တိုင်းတွေ့ပြီးတော့စကားပြောတယ်အဲ့တော့သူတို့ဒီမှာမပြောမိဘူးသူတို့လမ်းလျှောက်ပြီးတော့လေဘယ်မှာကိုခွဲရှိတဲ့အဲ့အိမ်နောက်ရောက်အဲ့မှာသူတို့စကားပြောတယ်အဲ့တော့ဒါပေမဲ့ဒီစကားဝင်နေတော့စကားပြောတော့အဲ့ energy
So I have a question that just came up in relation to Rose speech. It may not be related in the way that we're speaking now, but why do you do group interviews rather than one-on-one?
No time.
There's no time.
General knowledge vision.
And also, he says there's so much knowledge that's general that can be shared when it's a group.
And also,
And when people hear each other's stuff and what he says, they can learn from it. And sometimes to one person, he can't give everything. But there are the drawbacks of group interviews, he says. Some people start thinking that they should be having other people's experiences or other people's understanding. And that becomes a problem. And if it's personal, people can't present themselves to, and we can't tell him about it.
There also seems some value, just as we're talking about speech as practice, as a Dhamma discussion, that there's value in the group interview. What I've seen in this group and yesterday.
His
consistent experience with yogis has been when he gives interviews at the center that after the interview they feel energized. Because they find it interesting.
I was going to say, in the last couple of years, I haven't been able to sit many retreats, but I've used right speech and looking at that, because in my work, particularly, I interview people with cancer and who are dying or whatever, and it's taped, and I always am learning to sit with and not have to say anything, to be able to listen, and it's actually been an amazing practice to just stay with when I need to say something and see why I need to say something and just allow them to say. It's been a real a great education in me, for me, for my practice in the last couple of years.
Yes, that's right. He says talk, like being aware when you're when talking or not talking, he's, or when other people are talking, he says you can learn a lot.
Oh,
talking meditation.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Amma, interview lo ni la mo di la. Tegay na yung discussion lo.
Yeah. He says it's always for him, never an interview. It's more like a discussion.
Just get it.
Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it. Just get it